The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. Freedom's Disciple. On demand.
On the Blaze Radio Network.
I want to talk to you about a discussion that's happening in America right now about a military parade. And a lot of my friends love it. It's about time we honored the military. It's about time they got their due. Naturally, it's become political because our friends on the left are, well, this is Donald Trump being a dictator. It's showing the world his true colors, and he's finally showing who he really is. And everything's become political, and if you agree with a military parade, you're conservative and you're Republican, and if you disagree with it, you're a liberal Democrat and you don't like people. I heard one conservative commentator, you know, alienate people who actually think this is a bad idea by going, what is it about all you liberals who disagree with this parade? You're all for a gay pride parade and you're not for a military parade. That's wonderful thinking. That's just so intellectual. But I want to talk to you about a parade. And I want to talk to you about every aspect of it. Full disclosure, I think it's a horrible idea. I actually think not only is it a horrible idea, it might be one of the worst ideas I've heard anyone talk about. Full disclosure. But I'm going to explain. I'm not just going to say why I'm not going to say it's a horrible idea and then just, I'm going to back it up. And let's start with the elephant in the room, shall we? The left's narrative. Well, this proves Donald Trump is a dictator. This proves he's showing his true colors. Does a military parade, Donald Trump and the administration and all you people, if you're Republican or conservative who support this idea, does this mean he's a dictator? No. Again, what did he just speak about in the last segment? Causation and correlation. You don't have a military parade and all of a sudden you become a dictator. You become a dictator because you clamp down on people's civil rights. You hurt people. You make people second-class citizens. You take away their freedoms. You control them. That makes you a dictator. You know, I don't know, like someone like North Korea. That's a dictator. However, whether you want to admit it or whether you like it or not, here's the truth. America and the world believes in optics. And a picture paints 1,000 words. When you have a military parade, you're automatically in the same sentence. When you have tanks, when you have military, you're sending a message to the world that we're just like North Korea. We're just like China. We're just like Russia. Now, that message can be one of two things. It can be, you're just like them and you're a dictator, which isn't the truth. I just explained why Donald Trump is clearly not a dictator. Or you're adding legitimacy to what they do. So from the optics point of view, it is not good. There is nothing to benefit from it. But then I've heard a quote that's been repeated time and time again. And again, I don't pay this too much attention because it's only it's an off-the-record quote, I think. It's from Donald Trump himself. It's something along the lines of, and I'm not basing the argument on this, but it just has to be taken into consideration, that he was so impressed with what happened in France and Bastille Day, and he loved, quote, the pomp and circumstance of it. There is a lot of people who like pomp and circumstance. Even if you just take away the military parade, look what happened last week in the State of the Union. That is pomp and circumstance to the fullest degree. That is not an America I recognize. An America that loves pomp and circumstance is not the America I grew up loving. Maybe it existed, maybe it didn't. I don't know. Maybe I'm living a lie. Or maybe the America I love never existed. It just was a fairy tale. Maybe that's true, because there are people who tell me this all the time. Maybe that's true. But I want to focus on where you're going. Why do you need pomp and circumstance? What is it about pomp and circumstance of a king or a powerful military that you want? What is it? What is it, this need to say how great we are? We're just wonderful. I learned a lesson from a very early age. As someone who has been bullied, probably my earliest recollection of bullying was I was about 5 years old. And I was bullied horrifically by a teacher. And that's a story we'll tell another day. So much so I had to leave that school. So I've been bullied for nearly 30 years in my life. Here's one thing I've learned from bullies. I will never fear the person who says, "Oh, John, I'm going to beat you up. I'm going to mess you up. I'm going to punch you and I'm going to kick you and I'm going to do all these things and I'm going to find you and I'm going to jump you and I'm going to break your arm and I'm going to break your knee and I'm going to kneecap you. I'm going to do all these things to you." I never fear that person. Or the person who acts all tough, who puffs their chest out and says, "I'll just do all this." Who looks tough. I never fear that person either. The person I usually fear is the person who I know has a problem with me and says absolutely nothing. Because the chances are they are the person who's going to jump me and try and mess me up. The people who talk and try and act tough are usually not very tough. It's all an act. You know the whole expression we used to have, "All bark, no bite"? It's very true in my experience. But let's just go to the optics, because it's clear there's some type of thinking that you're maybe brewing for war with North Korea and this is going to be a response to them. Just let me ask you a question. Have you ever looked at a military parade and went, "Wow, they're impressive"? Have you ever looked at the Russian parades or the Chinese parades or the North Korea parades and gone, "Wow, we better not mess with them. They know how to march and they have all those tanks and they look really tough"? Heck, I'll go one step further. If you saw the videos of what Iran did in the Gulf a couple of years ago, where they actually got a mock US ship and blew it out of the water. Did you look at that and kind of go, "Wow, that's impressive. I'm impressed by that. Maybe we should think twice about aggravating Iran"? I know, as someone who has not served, full disclosure, but who has many military friends, I wasn't impressed by any of them. Because here's why. Anyone can look tough in a simulation. Anyone can look tough. It's like the whole saying, and I'm giving you a lot of sayings today. Anyone can have a game plan in a fight until you get hit in the face, then the game plan goes out the window. Anyone can act tough. Anyone can sort of look down and strategize for war and kind of go, "Well, we're going to move this ship here, we're going to do this ship, we're going to fly these planes, and we're going to bomb here." Everyone can have the best laid plans in war until you get hit in the face, and then you have to counter it. Because when you get hit in the face, those plans go out the window. Military parades do nothing. But also, and I'll ask this to my friends on the right, who are conservative, who are okay with this military parade. What has changed in the last couple of years? Because I remember, and I was outraged with you, when there was operations like Jade Helm, where we saw on social media constant all these trucks and tanks with the United Nations and American tanks being transported through your areas on trains and everyone freaking out. What's changed in the last couple of years, bar who's the president? It's your guy now, so is that the justification for it? What's changed? But also I would ask you, what signal does this send to your kids and your grandkids? Do you really want to live in a country where your kids and your grandkids have seen a tank up front, up close, walking in the street? Is that the world you want them to live in? Is it? And this is only a small argument, but it's an argument that needs to be made. What about the cost? Let me give you an analogy. Imagine your next door neighbor, and you know these facts, has no money, his mortgage is underwater. And when I say it's underwater, in case you don't know it, that's a financial term that we use. It's basically your mortgage that you have to repay is higher than the value of your house. What happens if you've seen them have, there's threats to repossess their cars? What happens if you see your neighbor lose his job and have major financial issues? And then all of a sudden, you get an invitation in the post. Hey, neighbor, we're having a champagne and caviar reception. Do you want to come? You look at that kind of go, the guy's lost his mind. His house is underwater. His cars are going to be repossessed. He's just lost his job. How's he going to live? And he's inviting me to a champagne and caviar reception. The guy's lost his ever-loving mind. What's he doing? Your country, whether you like this or not, your country is $20 trillion in debt. We're going to discuss what happened in the financial markets in the next segment. But you're $20 trillion in debt and you're blowing 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 million dollars on a parade? Really? This is what you want to invest in. You're supposed to be conservative and fiscal conservatives. If you have that moniker or you believe in that label and you believe in limited government. What part of a 10, 20, 30, 40 million dollar parade screams limited government and fiscal restraint? When you're at any time, but when you're $20 trillion in the hole. But I've heard this argument because I've engaged with some people on social media. Well, John, you just have to honour the vets. Why? I thought you loved the vets. I've even had somebody tell me, you don't love the vets, you hate the vets. Really? I don't know any show on The Blaze. I know for a fact there's no show on The Blaze. And I don't know many other shows. I haven't listened to everyone, obviously, because there's so many shows out there today. Do you know any other show who, apart from Mark Levin, who salutes the military every show that they do? Every show. Small clip, large clip, full show, special show, and nothing to do with military. We salute them. I am proud to stand with your armed forces. I have many people who have served in many different deployments, in many different parts of the military. Whether they're Navy, whether they're Marines, whether they're the Air Corps. I am proud to stand with them. But because I'm curious and I always love learning, I reached out to some of my friends this week. I have many friends in the military. I've yet to come across one who served and went, that's a great idea, I can't wait. It goes against their very nature. I have yet to meet a military man or woman who served who went, you know what, I'm wonderful, I'm awesome. I'm great, honor me. They're actually usually the opposite. They're usually the people who go, yeah, I was in Afghanistan for three tours and, you know, we all went overseas and I did nothing really. I've had that many. I laugh and I always say, I'm not laughing at you. I'm just laughing at, you know, I went over to Afghanistan three, four tours and I did nothing really. Dude, there was bullets flying around. You could have stand on a landmine. You were going to war. You were engaging with people. That's not nothing. They're the exact opposite. But you want to honor the military? I'm all for honoring the military. I want to give you some ideas of, let's honor the military. Because America has done many things right since day one. But since day one, you've done one thing horrifically wrong. You have treated your soldiers like crap. So, you want to honour the military? I'm all for honouring the military. Let's have some discussions about honouring the military, shall we? I'm going to give you some ideas. How about this? We actually come together as people who love the military, and even those who don't, and say, you know what? Scrap the VA. Now, I would say scrap the VA, but I'm an ideologue and an extremist. So, how about we use more moderate and more relaxing language? We reform the VA. And you install a voucher system for those who serve. Because you have a contract with them that says, you go off and serve wherever we send you, whether it's Germany, whether it's South Korea, whether it's Afghanistan, whether it's Iraq, whether it's the Middle East, whether it's Asia. You go off and serve. And if anything happens to you in the line of duty, we have your back. How about you install a voucher system? I would scrap the VA and install a voucher system, but if you want to reform the VA and install a voucher system, because that's more moderate and more palatable, do it. Where every military man, woman who serves has a voucher, and they choose the doctor, so the dollar follows them rather than being told they have to go to the VA. Because the VA stinks. You want to honor the military? How about you do that? Or how about this? How about you honor the military, the brave men and women, and give them a pay rise and secure their pay, which, credit to where credit's due, the GOP and Donald Trump have done this. I think they gave them a 2% raise this year. Credit where credit's due. Hopefully that continues. But understand this, a lot of military pay is still way behind where it needs to be. How about this? You want to honor the military? How about this? How about having this conversation? Hey, we've trained you. You serve in the American military, regardless of the division. You serve. We trust you with millions and billions of dollars worth of equipment. We trust you with naval carriers. We trust you with MiGs and M16. We trust you with AR-15s if they use them. We trust you with guns, grenades, machine guns. We trust you with all this artillery. And we're going to extend that trust further, where we're going to allow you carry a sidearm on every base that you're in, whether you're overseas or whether you're in America. Because what happened in places like Fort Hood must never happen again. How about this? You want to honor the military? How about this? That we actually have a conversation through government, through charities, through the media, through people, about how there's still around 20 people who have served committing suicide every day. How about we have that conversation? You want to honor the military? How about we find that? You want to honor the military? How about we have a discussion about what causes this suicide? What causes a lot of pain and anguish in people who have served? Where they have served all their life on a mission, and now they're in civilian life, and they feel useless and worthless because they have no more. They no longer have a mission. They feel they no longer have a purpose. How about we work and find ways to give them that mission and that purpose again? Not sending them overseas to fight, they've done their service, but they find ways and we help them find ways to reintegrate them in society and give them a new mission and purpose. Or how about this idea, considering some of the reasons I've heard, and I don't know whether this is true because it's not come from the administration, but some of the talking heads I've heard have said, this is just a prelude to war. We're just saying to North Korea how strong we are. Okay, how about this if you really want to honor the men and women who serve? How about this, you scrap the Geneva Convention? That you send the message to the world that we are for our troops no matter what. And that we will not send our boys and girls into war to fight oppressive regimes and terrorism with one hand tied behind our back. That we will decide the rules of engagement for our troops, not Geneva. And not a convention that was signed, 70 years ago? How about you scrap that? You want to honor men and women? How about doing any or all of these? But then again, what would I know? I only hate the military. You know, I just despise the US military. Can you hear it in my voice how much I despise them? How about we have these conversations? But before we have these conversations, how about we do something that we can all do? We can have an understanding that it is not a side game and that it's not one opinion fits all. You can listen to me and be pro-military and pro-parade even after everything I've said, and that's okay. I have no problem with it. I disagree with you, but I've tried to make the case for it. But how about we have this understanding where you can be pro-military and pro-parade, but you can also be 100% pro-military and anti-parade. This groupthink needs to stop. This idea, this culture of, if you dare have a difference of opinion to me, you're the enemy and you're opposite to me. I don't get this. If we want to thrive, you thrive as Americans and I thrive as an Irishman and we thrive as a world, we need to have honest conversations and honest discussions about going forward, even if we disagree 100% with people. But this balkanization and putting people into camps of, well, if you don't support a parade, you don't like a military, you hate the military, you despise the military. No, I don't. I stand with them 110%. 110%. I always will honor them and salute them. And this show will always be pro-military. And pro-everyone who serves. That is the ethos and the core of who this show is. But we need to have discussions and actually understand that sometimes, maybe all of the time, we're going to have to agree to disagree. But just because we agree to disagree does not make you my enemy. Does not make me want to destroy you. And if that's a healthy society that you want to live in, that you want your kids to live in, what world is that going to be? What's that world look like? Where you want to destroy or think someone's an enemy just because they have a different opinion of you. Thank you, and hope you enjoyed this short clip from last week's show. If you want more content based around America being an exceptional idea, eternal principles, and searching for self-evident truths, then please subscribe to my show called Freedom's Disciple, which is available for free on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play Music, or Stitcher.